welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 30. I'm Jack.
I'm Jay.
How are you feeling, Jay, at the moment as a Spurs fan? So, off the pitch, we've got the new stadium. It's a really exciting time for us. On the pitch, it's been a difficult month.
It's been a shambles.
Well, that sums up how you're feeling then.
So for me, what's really strange about this, if I liken it, I mean, it should be a really emotional time.
Mm.
An emotional and exciting time. And I liken it to the last few games at the Lane.
Yep.
That season we were unbeaten 2 years ago when we said goodbye to the old girl. And I think that was an emotional time.
Yeah.
That was equally matched by some brilliant stuff going on the pitch.
Some of the best football some Spurs fans have ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say that.
Yeah.
And I'm older than...
We were indestructible. That last season at White Hart Lane, I felt like we were going to beat anyone 3-0. Didn't matter who we played, you just knew we were going to beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
It was exactly. Unbelievable.
And we've had pockets of that this season, notably around Christmas, where we sort of hit our stride.
Yeah.
But the whole season has been erratic, for a load of reasons. But this should be an exciting time for us.
Yeah.
But it's being marred by what's going on the pitch.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. But it's not going to stop us having a great. You've already been, haven't you?
Oh,
have you been twice?
I've been to the stadium twice.
Yeah.
For the 18s game and then the Legends game, which we'll talk about in a bit. Have you been?
No, not been. No. We had a big birthday party to go to on Saturday. So.
But you're going Wednesday.
100%. I'm not missing one now. Well, apart from when I'm on holiday. And
yeah.
Anyway, but
we'll talk about stadium and that.
We'll talk about stadium in a minute. But this should be an exciting time, and I think it will still be emotionally charged. I'm not as nervous about Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot still to look forward to. Yeah. I'm getting there early. Are you getting there early on Wednesday?
I'll be leaving work about 5:30, so on the dot
really?
And over there. It don't take long to get to the new ground from here, though. What is it? Just under an hour, I would say. So I'll be
really?
Over there. Yeah.
It's
under an hour. It's only to Stratford, isn't it? And then
Stratford? What are you talking about?
To get to the new...
Just go up to Seven Sisters. You're not going to do that?
I could do that. I might do that.
Yeah. King's Cross, Seven Sisters.
I might do that.
Do the walk.
But it doesn't take...
It's a long walk. I've forgotten about that walk.
Oh, we did it after the 18s game because the train's all screwed, so we walked all the way back along Seven Sisters. But you know what? I really enjoyed it.
That walk just keep going on and on and on.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. And I don't mean Abbas. I mean... I mean the defeat to Liverpool.
I thought, as Abbas bottled joining us today, I thought for a moment, I was joking, but sort of not joking, when he said you should join. He was so sweary. We have a WhatsApp group, by the way.
He's such an angry man.
He was so sweary. I mean, we like not to swear too much, don't we? We're not sweary.
We're not animals.
We're not thugs. He was so unbelievably sweary yesterday. I said, you have to do the pod tomorrow because I think it would be brilliant.
I think he got so angry yesterday that he ended up bursting a vein in his head, so he can't be here, unfortunately.
Oh, is he dead now?
So let's talk
but
about...
I dealt with it, just in terms of... I mean, let's talk about the game in a sec, but I sort of dealt with it immediately by humour. I was out to dinner at a big restaurant where the football was on, and... there were a load of Liverpool fans there because it was Harrow and all the Indians in Harrow support Liverpool when they came over. Liverpool were huge. You know, that's how it was. You know, all my family are all Liverpool fans. Yeah.
Why are you a Spurs fan then?
Because I wanted to
the
be
the rebel.
Different.
Yeah, the rebel in you, so let's talk about the game.
But it was here, and I've dealt with it. I've dealt with it through humour, actually. And you've got to laugh it off.
Yeah.
And I've been laughing at it all day, you know. Mm. And actually, when I last saw Van a couple of weeks ago, he sort of said the same. He said, "You just can't take it seriously because otherwise,
it takes over your life, doesn't it?
This morning,
it takes over your life.
Yeah. I didn't open Twitter this morning because I knew it would just be a vile cauldron of negativity and hate.
People calling for Poch to be sacked and all this.
What happens if he doesn't make top four? Is he got to go like
Renner? Yeah, when Sam Allardyce is a free agent, so we'll bring him in. Steady the ship for a season. Yeah. Right, the game.
So I must admit, I watched the first half intently. And then the second half, we were watching it in a restaurant. So I had to sort of feign a little bit of interest in my mother-in-law. It was all of that, wasn't it? Whilst watching the football over her shoulder. But I thought we started the first 5 minutes. I thought we started really positively. I think the speed at which we were getting the ball up to the top and the ease with which we were just carving through that.
They looked nervous, Liverpool.
They looked very nervous.
And the crowd you sensed were nervous as well.
Yeah, aren't they?
I really liked the first 15 minutes we went direct. Yeah. And we just said, we're just going to get the ball forward. And every time we got a throw in their half, we took our time taking it and we just slowly took the momentum. Because you know that first 20 minutes at Anfield, we ended up conceding in it anyway, but it's a massive period. And if they get at you early, you can be in trouble. What did you make of their goal?
But if anything, we were clearly, you could see it, the amount, we were just huddled.
Yeah.
Into the centre of the pitch. I mean, the space.
But
again, I just can't see why. If we've got a back three, you had two marking Mane, with Robertson just galloping into an open field.
It wasn't great defending from Trippier. I mean, he should have done more. He should have done more to get out to stop the cross. But I got the tactics of playing the 5-3-2 in terms of let the fullbacks have it, invite the cross, because it's Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Sanchez against Firmino, Salah, Mane in the air. On paper, you'd think we'll deal with that all day, but it turned out to be the perfect cross.
The back three, you've got to have confidence in the back three, but someone's got to get at Robertson.
Well, Trippier should have gone out, but you could see, couldn't you, in the replay, he was terrified of Mane running in behind him. But Graham Souness pointed out on the analysis at half-time, he said, that's your centre-back's problem. You've got to get out and stop the ball.
Yeah, and I didn't watch any of the analysis, because by then they turned the telly.
I was panicking when that header went in, though. When he went 1-0, 16 minutes or whatever, I'm thinking we're going to get hammered here.
Yeah, but then the resilience I think we showed was... I think that's what we do in every game. We switch things around when we need to, and we grind out. Well, actually, there have been a few games which we've just touched on before we started the pod where we haven't.
Yeah.
And I think we need to probably touch it on those again, like Burnley, like Southampton.
We were just saying about how we can be brilliant but awful within the same game. And it's so frustrating to see it, that we have 10-minute spells of absolute domination and then we look like we're going to concede. I don't know what it's been, but I don't know what the stats are, but I haven't felt that we've been as solid this season.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like in the previous seasons, I felt like we can go to the big teams and keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And I'm confident that, you know, when we're under pressure, we can defend it. And there's only really been one game this season, which was the Chelsea first leg, where we beat them 1-0, where we just defended. And they could have been playing till midnight, and they were not going to score. But I don't know what it is. It's not a personnel thing, because the side's effectively the same as last year. But in the bigger games, it feels more panicky.
Yeah. That solidity. Most recently, I remember away at Dortmund.
We were unbelievable.
We defended like Champions League winners. That's how we defended. Yeah.
And you'd think that's another game, and you think they're not going to score.
They're just not going to score. We are get Hugo, absolute hero.
Is he finished?
No. I don't think he's finished. The worry for Pochettino is he's a club captain. You know what do you do? You can't drop him. But I tweeted this earlier because I couldn't stand Henry Winter is so fawning about Liverpool. He needs to stop that. But he did highlight that stat about the number of goals that have arisen directly from a keeper error. And only Pickford now has more than Hugo Lloris in the last three seasons. And I think that is a huge worry. That is a huge worry. There is a constant around his inconsistency. Or inconsistency has become a constant.
Yeah, and that's the
and
thing.
I think that when it gets to that, you know, big clubs have to take a very, very big decision about how you replace him. He has to go at some point. Why is that not now? You know, when Peter Cech left Chelsea, he left at the right time.
Yeah.
The struggle with will be who you replace him with.
But is Gazzaniga good enough?
Why is Gazzaniga not that person in the short term? Mm. And I'm looking next season now.
Yeah.
When you can make a bigger decision around who takes on the captain's armband. And there are a couple of really obvious candidates there for that, you know, in Jan and Harry.
Yeah.
But I think right now, and in Gazzaniga, I would feel really comfortable with him leading us at the back for the whole of next season. His distribution is incredible, as we know. Hugo Lloris has never, ever, ever cracked his problem of distribution. Mm. Still not now.
It's a really, really difficult one for me because from what I've seen of Gazzaniga, can't fault him. He's been excellent in all the games he's played, but the sample size we're comparing, how many games has Lloris played for us versus Gazzaniga? You know, you can't make that comparison. So we don't really know how good a keeper Gazzaniga is because you can't judge a goalkeeper over half a dozen games. You need, you know, 50 games before you can actually look at him and go, okay, this is the level you're at. The difficulty is, being a goalkeeper position, it's not as if you can. If he was a centre forward, fine, he gets more game time, you stick him on for half an hour. You just don't have that luxury with a goalkeeper. Lloris will be the number one for the rest of the season, no doubt about that.
Of course he will.
But I think that there will be part of Poch that is looking at it thinking, I need to make Harry Kane captain because we do need to make him captain soon.
Yeah.
He's made a lot of high-profile errors. He has had games this season where he's been unbelievable and he's won us points single-handedly. But then for every time he's done that, it feels that like that in the next month, he'll then have a stinker. And it's like, from a goalkeeper, the number one thing you want is consistency. Yeah. I'd much rather my keeper not make a worldy save and the ball goes in the top corner, but then also he doesn't give a goal away.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Paul Robinson. He was like that. He was consistent. He wasn't unbelievable, but he was consistent, and you need that from a keeper. And I think that feeds into what I was saying earlier about we've looked more shaky at the back because I think the defence, especially the centre-halves, are a little bit more like, what's he going to do? And you can just sense that vulnerability that we've got a little bit defensively. But there's no doubt in my mind that it will be Lloris till the end of the season. Will Gazzaniga be the long-term replacement? I don't think he will.
Really?
I'm just not convinced.
I think he's got it.
Because the reason I say that is, Lloris has had spells this season where he's been not good, and he hasn't dropped him. He hasn't put Gazzaniga. I know we're saying about his captain and all of that.
Because of the captaincy.
I'm not sure. I like what I've seen of Gazzaniga, and I'd like to see him get a crack of it.
Yeah.
But it's a big risk.
It is. I think with Hugo, we're seeing extremities of performance, aren't we?
I think that's a perfect summary.
He's either absolutely brilliant, pulling out Billy the Fish style saves out of nowhere.
And let's not forget the penalty save as well. We can't forget that.
Yes, yes. And against United, absolute worldie. Mm. In both legs against Dortmund, he was outstanding. At the Nou Camp earlier in the season, he was unbelievable. You know, these are all times when he is shone. But his distribution, he's still so
hesitant. It's frustrating, isn't it? It's
frustrating. And those nerves. I mean, I like the way we play out from the back. Can see what we're doing, but still, it just provokes nerves amongst everyone.
Yeah, and I think as well, like if we're going to win a major trophy, and I'm talking the Premier League or the Champions League, that style of play of keeper passes it to the fullbacks, that we have to play like that. We're not going to win major trophies by whacking it long. Yeah. It's just getting the balance between when we play and draw the teams out, and when do we say, okay, you know what, it's not on, I'll clip it long. That's what I've liked about Gazzaniga when he has played. He's not been frightened to just put his foot through it.
No.
It's a really difficult one. I mean, I was you're always gutted when you lose a game like that, when it's individual mistakes, especially given that tactically, Pochettino, unbelievable. You know, he changed it three or four times during the game, and we dominated. Yeah, we really did. Especially that second half, we really, really did dominate possession, territory. We were fantastic. And when we got level, I was thinking, you know what, we deserve that.
We do deserve that. There's nothing more than we deserved, and had we won it, we'd have deserved to have won that.
I'd agree with that.
You know, if you talked about the rational, intelligent half of the, or 10% of Liverpool fans,
10% is generous.
They, yeah, 5% of them. I think they'd agree they got away with that.
Mm.
Most of them won't. Most of them will believe it was written in the.
But I don't get that.
Like, Merseyside folklore.
Surely you can just be a rational fan and be like, I've gone to games watching Spurs, we haven't played well and we've won, and you come away and thinking, we didn't really deserve that today.
No.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. Also, that's football. You have games that you're brilliant and you lose, and you think, God, we didn't deserve that. That's the way it goes.
So back to that point about... we were talking just before we started about the run.
Mm.
And we haven't been dreadful in every game.
No, we haven't.
We've had dreadful spells. We've had dreadful halves. But alongside that, some of those dreadful halves, we've had halves of absolute brilliance where we've had absolutely nothing. And I go back to United. Second half against United at Wembley.
We murdered them.
Was the best football I think I've ever seen. The speed at which we were cutting through them and making them look completely average. Like a lower league team.
I'll read you some of our results, right, okay? And this goes back to last year, okay? So, bear with me, I'm just getting the list up. So, remember the home defeat to Wolves, right, okay?
Oh, God.
3-1 we lost that. 3 days before that, we beat Bournemouth 5-0 at home. After the Wolves game, a few days later, we went to Cardiff, beat them 3-0.
Yeah.
We then had Tranmere in the Cup, beat them 7-0.
Yeah.
Chelsea in the first leg of the Cup, beat them 1-0.
Yeah.
And we didn't play that great in that... We defended well, we didn't play great. Man United at home in the league, lost 1-0. Brilliant, we were. Absolutely brilliant in that game. Fulham away, 1-2-1. Didn't play great.
Bang average.
Dug it out. Second leg against Chelsea, 2-1 defeat. Lost on penalties. Unlucky. Played okay.
And most of our first team weren't there by then. Yeah. That was our real bad injury.
Yeah, and Kudu started, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful patch of injury.
Crystal Palace away in the FA Cup, lost 2-0. Awful.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. A few days later, Watford at home in the league, beat them 2-1. We got the two late goals.
Yeah.
Didn't play great. No. Dug the result
against
out.
Watford as well.
Yeah, not a bad side though. Then we had Newcastle, beat them 1-0 at home. Yeah. Sun got the goal.
Tight.
Leicester at home, beat them 3-1. Played quite well. Open game, played well. Dortmund at home, destroyed them 3-0. Yeah. One of the best performances of the season.
Yeah.
Burnley away.
That was insane, wasn't it?
Burnley away 10 days later, got beat 2-1. Chelsea away, got beat 2-0.
But Burnley, we were just abject.
Mm. It's strange, isn't it? Because it's almost like we get a brilliant result and then it's been a funny old season. But that's just a sample, you know, of like that's how the season's
and
been.
If you look at the last five games... We have veered where we literally haven't won a league game. We have veered from moments of brilliance to moments of just everyone's gone absent. Second half against Southampton was just atrocious.
We've only kept 2 clean sheets in the league this year, this calendar year, really? Which, you know, especially if you're not playing great, you need to be keeping it tight at the back to make sure that you can just nick a game 1-0 like we did against Newcastle. I want to talk about Harry Kane, okay? Loves playing for Spurs through the academy. He's Spurs through and through. If he stays with us, he's going to be our top goal scorer, really, in both our lifetimes. I doubt we'll ever see anyone score the number of goals. Do you reckon there's a part of him that after defeats like that, he looks around and thinks, I'm better than this?
No. I think that's the talk of knee-jerk, and we can't be knee-jerk about this.
So you're calm about
it. I think we've got to be. He'll be looking more broadly, and he does. He has a sort of senior statesman relationship with Pochettino. They'll be talking more broadly about plans for strengthening next year.
Yeah.
You know, with all of the uncertainty around Toby, and the statistics you've just highlighted, that there are some clear challenges there.
You know what?
Toby's made a few howlers of late as well, and I think. He will be one of a couple of players in there talking to them about what are the plans to grow and strengthen around us. Because if there aren't any, then I'm not sure.
Mm.
But right now, no one's looking at this club, apart from a handful maybe, and there's loads of speculation around Christian Eriksen, loads of speculation around Toby. No one's looking at it going, I'm not sure I'm going to be here in a few months' time. Because they're all going to this new stadium.
If you could only keep one of Alderweireld and Eriksen, who would you keep?
They're two completely different players.
If you could only keep one.
to be honest, I think Toby's gone.
Do you think?
Yeah, Toby's gone.
For me, he of the two, and I'm a massive Eriksen fan. His form the last half a dozen games has been not good. Right, I think we're all agreed in that. Although he did get the assist against
Liverpool. Jumping on his back yesterday, but there were pockets of brilliance and pockets of inconsistency. You know, there's a level of inconsistency that come back into his game.
I think the thing is with Eriksen, you get frustrated watching him because you know what he can do. And when he doesn't do it, you think you've got in your locker to have played that pass. I think that's why people get frustrated. I look at the two. For me, Alderweireld is irreplaceable. Genuinely, if he went, that would be a player we couldn't get anyone near his level. Even if we had 150 million to spend, you couldn't get anyone. The only type of defenders you know that are on that level were PK, Sergio Ramos. Like you're never going to get those defenders in. It's not realistic. So if he went, I would be extremely nervous. Eriksen, excellent player. You know, he's been brilliant for us over these however many years he's been with us now. He's the one I look at it and I think if we had to get rid of someone to bring in a huge transfer fee to potentially fund strengthening in other areas, he'd be one that I'd be sad to see him go, but I wouldn't be devastated. Alderweireld, and I'm with you, I think it's looking like when he goes, that makes me nervous.
I can see us becoming, I think it's more plausible to see us becoming one of those clubs that starts to transition players at scale, as Dortmund have done for years, as Liverpool have done actually more recently. You know, big fees going out, big fees coming in, and I think Atletico Madrid again the same. And I can see us moving towards that, and it won't be the disaster because there will be a grand plan around how we replace Christian Eriksen. With quality, not the large scale volume of dross that we bought when we sold Gareth Bale.
Yeah,
I think
the panic buys.
Panic buys, and it was hilarious.
And you look back at that and think, what were we doing? What were we doing? The only one out of that lot that I liked that I thought was a little bit unlucky, Chadley. He wasn't the most, you know, attractive player to watch. Like, he didn't do incredible, but he was a solid player for us. Anyway, I'll digress. I want to talk about the Legends game then. So, I was over there at the weekend. Spurs Legends 4 into Forever 5. typical Spurs. We were ahead three times and still lost. 90-minute game. Some of them were out on their feet after about 10 minutes. It was brilliant. There was some amazing football. And you know what? To see the likes of Robbie Keane lead the team out again. Raphael van der Vaart. Obviously, I mean, Gazza coming on, even though he was injured when he came on and didn't do anything when he did come on. To just have said, you know, you were at a stadium watching Tottenham and Paul Gascoigne was playing was something I never thought I'd get to say. But it was an absolutely fantastic game. It was thoroughly entertaining. The goals were hilarious. Timo Tainio getting the first goal in that game as well. He's a big boy now. He's piled it on. Tainio. Real fat boy he is now. And he never was he? He was always quite trim, like athletic player.
He was always a barrel.
But he's more than one barrel now. He looked like he had a couple of barrels under his shirt, if I'm honest. But it was fantastic. You know, Ginola come on in the second half. It was just, was fantastic. And Inter had a much stronger, more youthful side. I mean, they had Varon playing centre midfield, who looked like he could still play in the Premier League. He's just an absolute monster of a man.
He'd be over 40 now, though. 45.
Yeah. But he was still as fit as anything.
Yeah, like a Beckham.
And he was just receiving the ball off the defence, running the length of the field, and either having a shot or putting it on a plate for someone. David Howes played for Spurs, centre midfield. He was brilliant. He played 90 minutes.
Did he?
He was brilliant. It was incredible. Oh. And he was one of them. He obviously weren't there to have a good time. He was there to win. Not that he did, but like he took it extremely seriously. Karagounis was playing for Inter, who was at Fulham at the back end of his career. And
yeah, I remember him.
Howe's put a couple of early challenges in on him, and it all of a sudden it started to get a little bit niggly. And I've not seen a replay back of it, but I don't know if it was an elbow or something. But Karagounis went down, had blood pouring out of his head, had to
go off.
Howes was putting himself about, and I was watching it thinking, yeah, I love this. This is an old boys' game,
yeah,
and he's just going around kicking people. It was
so
fantastic.
So I saw pockets of it as I was getting ready to go out for a party, but I managed to catch pockets of it on the Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was really annoying because to do anything else on your phone, you had to come out of it and back in, and there were lots of comments flying around on the Twitter feed. And I mean, it's a shame, really, because you just want to stick it on a YouTube thing.
And just watch it.
And just watch it.
The Robbie Keane goal, if anybody's not seen it,
is
one of the best Robbie Keane goals he's scored for Spurs.
Yeah.
It was sensational. So Rafa van der Vaart picked the ball up midway in the inter-half, played the ball over the top of the centre-halves, and Robbie Keane, with his back to goal, took the ball on the half volley and chipped Julio Cesar as well. So it's not as if it's a poor goalkeeper.
No. It's almost off his ankle.
It was
it?
Ridiculous,
yeah.
And the whole stadium went absolutely mad for it.
Yeah,
It was brilliant.
What was that like when the stadium did it feel noticeably louder?
Yeah, 45,000 it was.
Yeah.
The south stand was pretty full. It wasn't at capacity, but it was pretty full. The atmosphere in there was great. You know, I mean, it's only going to be so loud for a Legends game, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to, but it was fantastic. We were singing the old songs, and the way they've designed the stadium is like a small pocket. You know what, Hutt Lane, a small pocket would sing, and sometimes if you're down the other end of the ground, you couldn't quite pick it up. Completely different in this ground. A small pocket started singing "We're the Park Lane," and then all of a sudden, the shelf side were out, and it felt like White Hot Lane. It's an incredible, incredible stadium. It just gets more and more impressive every time you see it.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for Wednesday.
Have you walked all the way around it?
Haven't gone all the way around it yet. No, I haven't had enough time. So both the games, the trains have been screwed.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit of a nightmare having to drive half the way and walk and all of that stuff. So I've not been all the way around it yet. But I mean, the buzz when you get in there is just, it's unbelievable. But you're going to experience it Wednesday.
I'm going to experience it Wednesday. I'm going to get there early enough because I can.
You do what you want.
With my lad. So we walk all the way around and we see absolutely as much of it as we can. And then my lad's off on a school trip, so then I'm going to get a mate along for the city game.
Oh, fantastic.
And we're going to get there early.
A few beers.
And get up. You've not been down to the microbrewery, the Beavertown taproom?
Not really.
That's the bit I'm looking forward to the most, to be honest.
But you know what? The way they've designed it, especially in that south stand, there's a bar that runs the whole length of the south stand, which is fantastic. And there's just loads of little pockets of food stalls everywhere. So it's like, you know, at Wembley, it felt like it was just one massive queue of everyone in.
Yeah.
They've designed it so that it's not like that. Yeah. There's so many different places where you can go and get something to eat or get a drink.
Is there Beavertown available everywhere?
I've not had a beer yet. I'm waiting Wednesday. First proper game.
You have a few on Wednesday.
First proper game. Get down there. Leave work.
Right. We've got to make a plan. We can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll take that offline.
Take that offline.
Offline. Yeah.
Because my first pint of Gamma Ray is going to be
the best Gamma Ray you've ever had.
The best Beavertown Gamma Ray I've ever had.
How do you feel about the Palace game Wednesday? Are you confident? Are you nervous? Is it a banana skin?
Yes. It's a massive banana skin. I think that they are clearly up there with Wolves, Watford,
Burnley,
as the classic banana skins.
Yeah.
I'd say above Leicester or Everton.
Yeah,
you know these
and
are
Andrew
teams
Townsend
that,
in their ranks as well.
He'll end up outside the stadium, or
he'll knock the cockerel off the roof, won't he?
Yes, of course, there's a cockerel up there. And I think they've got enough quality. To do some damage.
Yeah.
The huge unproven here is the 12th man.
Yeah.
And the power and emotion and the strength.
I think he'll be buzzing in there.
And Pochettino for years has talked about playing with emotion, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And I think when you think about that, you think about the fact that they've all been very emotional ready training there. I think they've been training a lot longer, by the way.
Yeah.
I've heard rumours that this was all a sham. You know when they all went on social media for their first sort of under the social media spotlight.
Why would you not have been training for the last 6-7 weeks on it? You would get used to it, wouldn't you?
I think that you get a pitch ready that early. Pitch has been ready since Christmas.
I agree with you.
And so I think they're completely familiar with it. They'll be so pumped. And I think they are smart enough to have come out of that, yes, completely deflated, but knowing that they played well enough in the second half to beat any side in the league, including City.
If we play at that level Wednesday, you'd expect, you know, a pretty comfortable home win.
I think Son will start.
Because Lucas Moura had a good game at Liverpool.
Yeah, he did. But I think he played pretty much the full game. Came off at 90, didn't he?
Yeah.
So you might go fresh legs.
Chuck Sonny.
I mean, he did look like he was absolutely everywhere, didn't he?
He's one of them players, though, isn't he? That's his style, isn't it? He doesn't stick to a position. He's literally like a dog. Yeah. He chases the ball and most of the time gets it.
Yeah. But his levels of energy were just outstanding, weren't they? So I can see Son starting for Moura. And there's enough quality in Son, and he's so match ready, isn't he? I mean, he played for Korea, didn't he, a couple of weeks.
Score prediction then, Palace at home?
I think we'll smash them.
I think we're going to smash them as well.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, I think it's coming, and I think 62,062 will get right. Yeah. There. No, not 58.
Yeah,
well, I don't even know. How big's the away end?
Well, they'll get what, 2,500, wouldn't they?
Yeah, right next to me, actually.
I think we'll beat them. I think it'll be 3-1, but I could see them getting the first goal. I really could. It would just be such a, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it would just, and
a piece of Zaha brilliance,
or not even that. It'd be like James Tompkins from a set piece or something like that. Then we'll go behind early, but then we'll just lift, and that South Stand will literally just be pulling the ball into the net.
Does Trippier start?
Well, Aurier's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he does. I'd be shocked if he put Walker Peters in against Zaha as well, or Townsend. I would be shocked. So I think it would be tricky.
So you'd have to have the minder Sissoko over there.
Yeah, playing just the right of the midfield, wouldn't he?
And Eric Dier's out.
We're not sure. And you know what? I wanted to quickly talk about him as well, actually. For me, there's no coincidence that this run of poor form has been when he's not, even not been fully fit or has been injured.
Yeah.
And I think that just shows what a big player he is for
he's
us.
He's for us.
Yeah. But there's still a big divide with him that some people don't see it. I'd struggle to grasp that, to be honest. I think he's one of our most important players. Not best players, one of our most important players.
I mean, I think you can't downplay the improvement that we've seen from Sissoko.
He's my player of the season, Sissoko.
Well, only because the improvement. I mean, he's still. I mean, to be in that position, if it was Winks or Eric Dier going forward, you'd bet your house on them at least finding the target.
Yeah.
At least finding the target.
You mean you weren't confident when Sissoko went through?
That's not going in.
He just knew, didn't you?
I was just shouting, square it.
Oh,
that's all I was shouting.
Can you imagine if he gets the first goal Wednesday?
Just square it.
Can you imagine a Sissoko thunder blast from 30 yards?
I'll be honest with you, I have a very vivid imagination, Jack.
Well, I know all about your imagination.
Yeah. but no, I can't imagine that.
that would be incredible, wouldn't it? But you're right, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what it's time for now? The We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
Your favourite part of the podcast, James?
Such a dreadful memory.
So I'm going to give you a Spurs game, which is against Palace. I'm going to name about half of that starting 11. It is your job to name the rest of the starting team.
What's the year?
So this is Spurs 1, Palace 0.
Ugh.
August 2016.
Oh.
Okay.
Is this
right at the start
where
of the season?
Punton attempted one of the worst penalties of all time.
No, that was another poor, dull game against Palace.
That was 1-0 as well.
We played 4-4-2 this afternoon. Yeah. So let's start off with the goalkeeper. 2016.
Friedel.
No. We'll come back to goalkeeper. right back was Carl Walker. Centre back was Toby Alderweireld. The next centre back is a question mark. Any early guesses?
Jan
Vertonghen, correct. Left back was Danny Rose. Right hand side of midfield was Christian Eriksen. Left hand side of midfield is a question mark.
First 2016.
2016.
Mason.
Was it Mason? First centre midfielder was Victor Wanyama, who scored in that game. That was his debut.
Hang on. Eriksen, Wanyama.
Eriksen was on the right.
Yeah.
Question mark on the left. Wanyama.
Oh, sorry, it's four, yeah. Sorry.
Wanyama and a question mark in the middle. And then two strikers. First one was Harry Kane, and the second one's a question mark. So I need from you, goalkeeper, centre-back for Tongan, you've already got, centre-mid, left-mid, and striker.
So Kane. But this wasn't that long ago.
This is not even three years
that's
ago.
It's the Leicester season, isn't it? Oh, my God.
So centre-midfield. So he was playing alongside Victor Wanyama that day. There's some real dead air, that.
Eric Dier.
Yeah. Eric Dier. Good knowledge.
Wow. Memory, isn't it? It's not knowledge. Yeah. It's memory.
Good memory. Left-hand side of midfield.
Andros Townsend.
Wasn't Andros Townsend. Not a bad guess, though. Or the striker or the goalkeeper. You still need. The striker currently plays for Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other striker.
Ali.
Not Dele Ali. This guy is a striker. He's still out of Spurs.
Oh, God. What's his chops? I can't remember. I can see it. Dutch.
Vincent Janssen.
Janssen.
That is how irrelevant he is. He's a forgotten man, isn't he?
Janssen
and Kane up top.
Yeah.
Janssen had a brilliant... I remember this. He had a brilliant game.
So Dele Ali was in midfield.
What, on the left?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Left. This guy still.
Oh, Chadley.
No, he's still at Spurs. Divides opinion. He's injured most of the time. Oh. Number 11.
Oh God, Eric Lamella.
Eric Lamella.
How did I not think
Eric
of him?
Lamella.
And then wasn't even in the squad yesterday, was he?
He's just. He's always injured, isn't he? Yeah. You need to get the goalkeeper. So you guessed Friedel, which was incorrect.
Oh, God.
2016. So like you said, not that long ago.
Not that long ago at all.
He's at Spurs.
Yeah.
Also Dutch.
Oh, God. What's his chops? Pretty boy.
What's his chops is up front. Michelle Vorm. So that was Vorm, Walker, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Rose, Eriksen, Dier, Wanyama, Lamella, Kane, Janssen.
Yeah.
We've definitely improved since then, especially, you know, the Janssen part.
There's not enough injection in 3 years of big
The spine's the same, isn't
the
it?
Almost the whole team is the same. You know, yeah. I mean, it's... Who does that? What? Name me another side that has that level
given
consistency over 3 years.
When you see where we're now playing Wednesday night... You'll realise a little bit more why we've done it. Other amazing thing from the Legends game was they played as the players were coming out. Can't smile without you.
I don't think that's good. They were talking about that.
It was fantastic because they're no longer playing the podcast's intro and outro before the game. Apparently, no, they've said they're not doing that anymore, which is a massive shame because. You know, I used to love being there and being like, oh, here's the pop music, but they're not doing that anymore. So I don't know whether or not Can't Smile Without You will be a permanent thing. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So there you go.
Superb.
Well,
I'm very excited.
Enjoy Wednesday. I'll see you there.
Yeah, enjoy Wednesday. It's just whatever happens. Yeah?
Future's bright.
The future's lily white.
Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. the curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
Tottenham